Today is Sermon 2 in our Wisdom for Life series, and our theme is Wisdom or Folly. Should be a question mark there. Wisdom or Folly, which are you going to choose? And our passage is Proverbs 9, which I'll use as a springboard into chapters 1 to 8 as well. So let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we have many decisions to make in life. Please give us your wisdom so that we will be wise, making good decisions and living well in your world. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Big decisions. Every day we make lots of decisions. Most of them are small and forgotten nearly as quickly as they're made. Can you remember what you had for lunch on Wednesday? Maybe some can, if it's the same every day. Vegemite toast, I don't know. Every so often, we are faced with a decision that's neither inconsequential or fleeting. Every so often we're faced with a big decision. Psychology Today asked people between the ages of 20 and 80 to reveal their biggest life decisions. The question was, what are the most common big life decisions? One, to start a new job or position or not. Two, to get married or not. Three, to pursue a degree or not. Four, to have a child or adopt a child or not. Five, to buy a home or not. Six, to quit a job or not. To move to a new state or not. Eight, to choose where to study. Nine, to get divorced or not. 10, to get a pet or not. Big decision, yes. If we step back, these results suggest that most people are trying to solve the same problems. What kind of education should I get? How should I earn a living? Where should I put down roots? What kind of family should I build? Proverbs and God's word as a whole does give us guidance on these things, principles that we can apply to our decision making. But God's wisdom goes even deeper than that. God's wisdom impacts our heart, our will, our character, our priorities, which then in turn impacts the decisions that we make. God's word tells us that we have a fundamental decision to make, which impacts all other decisions, the decision of wisdom or folly. I remember as a young teen reaching a crossroad in my life. Would I choose God and his way, or me and my way? In other words, would I choose wisdom or folly? I chose me, I chose folly, and that began an endless series of decisions that led me further and further away from God and deeper into a messed up life. Wisdom or folly? Proverbs says, in the end, it is a decision of life or death. So let's take a look, beginning with wisdom's invitation. This is from chapter 9 that we heard read. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. There's the offer. Wisdom is available to all. It's a good offer. The good things of life. God is good and he wants what is best for us. He knows how life works in his world. He knows what is good for us. He knows what is bad for us. Wisdom results in a truly good life and life itself. Chapter 8 repeats the call of wisdom, the invitation to choose her. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Do we really believe that, is the question. Verse 14 of chapter 8 continues, counsel and judgment are mine, I have insight, I have power. By me kings reign and rulers issue decrees that are just. By me princes govern and nobles, all who rule on earth. I love those who love me and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honour, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice, bestowing a rich inheritance on those who love me and make their treasuries and making their treasuries full. Sounds very good, doesn't it? Sounds good. Sounds like, seek first my kingdom and righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Chapter 3 of Proverbs repeats this theme. Have I got that one? I don't. Let me read it. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honour. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold fast, her fast will be blessed. Thus we see the image for this series, a tree of life. It's interesting, isn't it? It's not the tree of life, but close, very close. Wisdom and eternal life go hand in hand, which makes sense when you think about Jesus, who is our wisdom. He is the embodiment of wisdom. He is the one who is and gives eternal life. The contrast is with folly. We're back in chapter 9 here. Folly's invitation. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet food, eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. Interesting that Madame Folly is not dissimilar to wisdom. You know, she's on the high point of the city calling out. She promises the good life as well. Going back to when I was a teen, making the decision to accelerate down the road of folly, it all looked so attractive, so much better, more fun, more free. That was the promise, not the reality. Little did I know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. I ended up lost, certainly spiritually dead, and only by the grace of God, not physically dead, because we did some dumb and dangerous things. Wisdom warns against Madame Folly repeatedly. You can read those warnings in chapters 5, 6 and 7. We need repeated warnings because we are prone to foolishness, to being seduced by the false promises of our world. And so we come to the warning against adultery. Let me read the shortest of the warnings in chapter 6. It's important that we hear this. So from chapter 6, verse 20. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For this command is a lamp. This teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life. Keeping you from your neighbor's wife, from the smooth talk of a wayward woman. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty or let her captivate you with her eyes, for a prostitute can be had for a loaf of bread, but another man's wife preys on your very life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his hunger when he's starving. Yet, if he's caught, he must pay sevenfold, though it costs him all his wealth of his house. But a man who commits adultery has no sense. Whoever does so destroys himself. Blows and disgrace are his lot, and his shame will never be wiped away. For jealousy arouses a husband's fury, and he will show no mercy when he takes revenge. He will not accept any compensation. He will refuse a bribe, however great it is. Hollywood may normalize and even glorify it, adultery, that is. But in the real world, adultery is the ultimate foolishness. It ruins your life. Adultery against your wife and adultery against God, which is what sleeping with Madame Folly personifies. So choose wisdom, live and breathe God's wisdom, fortify yourself with God's wisdom is the encouragement. There's a second important warning. In chapter 1, we are warned against the invitation of sinful men. So I'm going to read from 1 verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, if sinful men entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, come along with us, let's lie in wait for innocent blood. Let's ambush some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Cast lots with us. We'll all share the loot. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths, for their feet rush into evil. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net wherever every bird can see it. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush only themselves. Such are the paths of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the life of those who get it. Every time I see on the news another death in the gangland shootings and murders, I think of this passage. We may not be enticed into a Middle Eastern crime gang, but we do have to be careful with the company that we keep, especially if we are easily influenced. And thinking at the bigger picture, the world is always calling, offering us another way, another path, another road, a better one, an easier one. Again, we need to live and breathe wisdom to avoid enticement. Now, as I said last week, Proverbs is application. However, let me pull together a few thoughts in application. One, choose wisdom. Choose wisdom. Returning to our passage in chapter 9, wisdom calls to us, leave your simple ways and you will live, walk in the way of insight. Then in verse 10 to 12, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom your days will be many and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. So the clear application, the clear offer for us today, wisdom or folly, choose wisdom and truly live. Chapter 4 puts it this way. Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she'll protect you. Love her and she'll watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her. She'll honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. So how badly do you want God's wisdom? A little bit? Somewhat? How about with all your heart? What would that look like to take hold of wisdom with all your heart? We'd be immersing ourselves in God's word. We'd be reading it. We'd be thinking about it. We'd be praying about it. We'd be applying it to the big decisions in life and the little decisions, if there's application, in the day-to-day, in the right and wrong, in my relationships, in how I'm going to respond in this situation and that situation, to this person, that person. Proverbs' choice of wisdom and folly remains today, and in fact it is intensified in Jesus. I'm sure we all remember these words of Jesus at the conclusion of his Sermon on the Mount that Helen's children's storybook pointed us to. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus says, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus says, and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Here is the ultimate choice that people have to make. They can choose wisdom, not only the wisdom of the Old Testament, but the wisdom of the one who fulfills it and embodies it. They can choose Jesus and his word to live by, or they can choose foolishness, hearing wisdom's call, but rejecting it. Hearing Jesus' word, but being unwilling to live by it. Interestingly, Jesus' word, his Sermon on the Mount, has something to say about two key things that Proverbs 1 to 9 does. This is application number 2. Jesus' stronger word against adultery. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. He's using hyperbole here. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Even stronger than Proverbs, right? Much stronger. Serious stuff. Flee sexual immorality because it will truly ruin you. It'll ruin you for eternity is the warning. Lastly, and more positively, Jesus deals with our relationships with the world, with sinful men, as Proverbs puts it, who are walking on the different path, the path of folly. We're called to be salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus says, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world, he calls us as his disciples. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So rather than being enticed and led astray, Jesus wants us to shine brightly, to stand out distinctively as his people. And by his mercy and grace, he has made that possible. We are salt and light because of him. So let's live it out. Let's build our house on the rock. Let's be truly wise in thought, in word, and action to the glory of our Father in heaven.